that's just my take on that. And
okay,
you know, I do have two jobs, both of which have me in front of a computer way more often than not. I do most of my police work actually remotely, although I do try to actually get myself on patrol on Sunday afternoons, just so that I can pretend like I'm doing something, you know, somewhat productive. Again, I have a great command staff underneath me, and they handle most of the day-to-day stuff throughout the summer.
And I'll be honest, I tend to agree. Now, I'm not an Area 5 resident, so I have no dog in this fight. But I tend to agree with you with what is needed at the moment as a board, as an area director, to help with getting the finances back in order, getting things going. Now, I do you not feel that your project management skills come into play here? Because I kind of feel that they do.
I think that I could, I think I could definitely, in a proper conversation, because I do think that the skill of conversation has disappeared from the board, or at least it seems to have. But in a proper conversation, getting everybody going in the right direction, this, and I'll just say dysfunction, could be a whole lot closer to functional pretty quickly. I mean, like 6 to 8 months. I don't know if all went well. You know, it could be a full 4 years too. I don't know how ingrained the dysfunction actually is. You know, if there was once upon a time real processes and they've just been forgotten, or if they're blatantly being ignored, I really don't know until you'd be able to actually dive in. But, you know, like from my side, everybody's like, oh, your matches are pretty good, but they're level ones. You know, have you ever put on a level two or a level three? And my answer is no. I will fully admit I do the absolute best that I can. I like to put on challenging matches. I take into account, you know, varying round counts and the differences between short, medium, and long courses, because I like each stage to actually matter in the overall. I do all of that kind of stuff. But, you know, everybody's like, hey, you know, where do you stack up with Leif? I've shot Leif's matches. I shot that bluegrass low cap last spring. My entire squad, we all shot horribly, but it's one of the best matches we've ever shot. Leif puts on great matches. And if you're electing an Area 5 guy just to put on a spectacular Area 5 match, I'm going to disappoint you. But if you're looking for a guy that is going to, you know, I'm going to keep everything to two decimal places. I'm not going to round things up. I'm going to look at real numbers. And I think we're kind of in a number crunching sort of situation at this point, because if we don't start crunching them, we're going to be out of numbers, and then we're all going to be shooting PCSL.
And again, I don't feel like the number one priority of the area director is to run the area match. It might be directing somebody who is a good match director and moving it around within the area so that it is a good match. But I don't feel like that is, nor should that ever be, the primary reason anybody gets elected as an area director.
Yeah, I keep using the term range bro. I guess I can be a range bro. I like meeting new people. I like hanging out on the range. I like doing the shooty shoot things. But I think the situation that we're looking at right now, and I may not have all of the information, and maybe the finances are way better than it's being made out to be, and everybody's just being silent for hiding the aliens. I don't know. But the at this point, I think we need basically financial responsibility across the board, from everything from whatever other things the organization spends money on, to running the matches, to the electric bill for, you know, whatever, to, you know, somewhere we must have servers and, you know, IT people with cords that get plugged in. I don't know, but somebody's going to have to write all that stuff down and actually keep track of it. And I don't really see that happening from my membership side.
Right. Nor do I.
And then there's the blatant unfair treatment of some other members. And I'll just be honest with you, that's bullshit. And that's not okay. I can understand disagreeing with people, but at some point you've got to have some type of finding of facts and some type of actual standard that those facts are weighed against. And it seems like we don't really have that either.
And I would concur. So now this brings up a question, because you mentioned 4 years. I found out, speaking, having a private conversation with an individual, that board terms used to be 3 years, not 4 years.
Hmm.
So what are your thoughts on a three-year term versus 4 years?
Well, and everybody thinks that I'm just being funny, but I'm being absolutely serious. I would like to do this and get the organization on a path that somebody else can just take over and cut and paste my, you know, processes and take it off into the sunset. It's not that I don't want to do the job, is I would really like to see somebody else do the job, but it appears that I'm the guy with the skills and mindset at this point to do the job. And I know that I can be a little bit, and I'll say sharp-tongued, and I can be a little bit forceful, and sometimes that's a good thing and sometimes it's not an appropriate thing, but sometimes I feel it's what needs to actually happen. And I think we're at the point now where disagreements need to be brought to the forefront and they need to be worked through. And I know that I can say I'm sorry. I was married. I know how to say I'm sorry. I guess all of the sides can be weighed and we can figure out where this is supposed to go. I would be more than happy to get this whole thing straightened out and hand it over to somebody else that wants to go and shoot the map, you know, every single one of the nationals, and, you know, fly all over the country and shake people's hands and smile and stuff. Maybe that's me, you know, somewhere down the road. But, you know, I'm expecting to go to college track meets and all kinds of stuff. And not that USPSA is unimportant, but my family is going to come before USPSA.
Okay, so I think this is a good moment then to ask you although I think I know, I'd rather you say it than me put the words in your mouth. Okay. What is your purpose for running for Area 5?
This is going to be a little bit long-winded. So
okay.
My boys and I watched, I'm trying to think of a better word, but the fuckery of the going-ons in USPSA. And we chimed in online, we got blocked. We chimed in on Facebook, we got blocked. We found the Howler Monkey echo chamber, and we found new friends. And we continued to watch those in power to continue to blatantly do the wrong thing. And I say the wrong thing because that's our perspective of it from the outside, what we were able to see, what we were able to read in the meeting minutes, and what we were able to glean from other folks. And when your then 16-year-old son comes to you and says, "Dad, nothing's changing. What are we going to do?" Well, at a certain point, you can only post all of the cute memes and you can make jokes, but at some point you've got to put your own hat in the ring. And here's my hat in the ring. I saw some unfairness. I don't like it. I'm willing to put myself out there and I'll just say fight against it, to be a little bit author-esque on the terms. But this is me showing my sons that sometimes you just got to shut up and act. And here I am acting. I've said from the beginning, if there's somebody better out there and I see somebody better come forward, I will step right aside. You know, the job doesn't pay anything, and I have no intention of using it to get free match fees and free airline tickets across the country. So from my side, I'm seeing this job as nothing but my time and my intellect, and I think I have the time, and I think I have the necessary experience. I'm the guy that might be able to bring it back to the membership, or at least bring some semblance of order to the disorder.
Well, that was good. And you said something earlier, so I want to go back, because I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget. I don't know that I would know this had I not spent so much time here in Virginia and visited Mount Vernon and heard them talk about George Washington. Some history stuff, but I haven't focused a whole lot on Washington. But you sound, and again, I have no dog in this fight, but you sound similar to George Washington, where, like, he didn't want to lead. He didn't want to be that guy. He didn't want to be the first president. He was happy to do exactly what you're saying, is where he was go and do something, and then he wanted to go back home. He's like, "I'm good. You guys run this thing." And they were like, "No, come." I mean, they had to trick him to come up to the convention to be the president. And then he was like, I only want to do it once, and I want to go back home." And it kind of, that's what you remind me of, in that you're like, "Look, I'll donate my time and my experience to get the organization in the direction I feel we need to go. And then I'm more than willing to go back into private practice," as he would say, and go from there.
Wow. I'm glad I got a beard, because I'm blushing here. thank you, Dave. Boy, somebody note that I'm speechless, because that's not usually a thing either.
We're setting all kinds of new records here.
In honesty, I'm a bit of a history buff. My father was an anthropology professor, so in the St. Clair kitchen table, we talk a lot of history and what might not be written in the books and stuff. And my boys and I, for years, have always discussed the founding fathers and the people that signed the Declaration of Independence and what they really laid on the line, because those dudes were all rich and those dudes were already all set, right? They could have easily paid the taxes, and they could have just bent over and said, to put it in USPSA terms, I'm just going to shoot locals. I'm going to pay my $30. I'm going to shoot a 6 or an 8 stage match, and I'm going to go have lunch and beers with my friends, and whatever they're doing at the national level, that's somebody else's problem. They didn't do that. They went along this experiment in self-governance, and for better or worse, you know, those dudes had, you want to talk about dudes that had disagreements, right? You know, but I want to say that it was Jefferson, but you're going to probably have to Google this. But one of the founding fathers said that a disagreement in politics or religion is not a reason to not be friends, and or something along those lines. And I have a great many friends that I don't agree with politically. I have a great many friends that I don't agree with religiously, but I count them as friends. What is it? Who is it?
I never considered a difference of opinion in politics, in religion, in philosophy, as cause for withdrawing from a friend. Thomas Jefferson.
Boom. Every once in a while, I remember.
Looky there.
Halfway right.
So I'm telling you, man, I don't think the audience has probably learned as much as we're learning tonight, just in general.
Well, and I think that's part of one of the great things. And I got to go back to the bluegrass match the spring of 2023. The greatest part about that was you were done shooting in time to go and eat the food, and everybody sat down at tables and everybody ate, I'll call it a late lunch, early dinner together. And there were, you know, there was 100+ dudes sitting around eating, you know, shooting the shit, and they didn't all know each other, and maybe they'd shot on the same squad, maybe not. And the place was a buzz, and there was like a seriously really good vibe. And you can't tell me that all of those guys, you know, sat around there and agreed on everything, that the politics of the club, the politics of the nation, or anything like that. But people can actually get along and find some common ground. Back to USPSA, I don't know. I don't have all the facts. I wish there was more facts coming down the mountain at us, so maybe we you know, could see if we are in fact wrong in some way, shape, or form. But the I think with some decent conversations and probably more than a few disagreements, but maybe even some compromises, we could get this whole thing, and I'll just say not burning money, at least, maybe just like a smoldering of money, pretty quickly, and then get to the point where maybe we're cash positive in a reasonable amount of time. And I mean, we don't have an unlimited amount of money available, so we got to do it sooner than later.
Right. Yeah, agree. Now, what are your thoughts on, but let's say, no, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to throw any hypotheticals, but just give me your thoughts on if you heard an area director say, a current area director say he doesn't know what the protests are about.
Well, I may have actually heard a current area director say something similar to that. I'm
speechless.
No, this isn't speechless. I'm self-editing.
I know you are. I can see. And that's good.
If in fact that is true, that would indicate to me the complete lack of understanding of what has been going on in the organization for the better part of 2 years at this point. To be willing to say out loud that information was not in their brain leads me to have to believe that they are only getting information from certain channels, and that they are unable to read their USPSA corporate email account. Because I know the emails that I have written personally. I know that the emails that my family has written as a group. I can't believe that someone would say that out loud and still have access to that email account. And maybe I'm the only person sending emails. I don't think that's the case, but that shows a level of disinterest that would worry me. I was worried when I heard that. That's the word, worried.
Okay, as was I. So you mentioned earlier, I've been saying I think it would be, I like the idea of a single nationals, where it's basically every year you have a world shoot style nationals where it's all week or 4 days, 4 days, 5 days, however you want to do. We'll say 4 days of shooting. But in like world shoot, you have a day off where you're not actively shooting. Mm-hmm. So you might shoot day one, day two, not shoot day three, and shoot day four. So it opens up more slots for people. You do it at a facility that can handle plenty of, I would say a 24 to 30 stay. 24, I think, is plenty. 24 stage match. Maybe you do 8 stages each day that you shoot. That's 24.
Yep, 500 plus shooters, right.
Yeah, you can get quite a few shooters in there. You can fill it up completely.
You may remember going back to, I'm going to guess it was probably the October-November meeting minutes where Rick Steele actually made the motion that I had suggested to him. And my motion didn't actually get copied into the minutes the way that I wrote it for Rick, but I had actually suggested that they basically break all of their national contracts that they had already set up for 2024, balance the budget, and if money still allowed, schedule a single nationals, but only if money was available.
And it was out of order.
It was ruled out of order, right? That was my motion. Okay. I think both Scott and Frank talked. I think they talked to Joel Park, and you know, saying that yeah, that was from me, but it wasn't copied into the minutes as I wrote it.
Okay.
I think had it been copied into the minutes as I wrote it, I don't think it would have been out of order, because it did in fact allow for the ability to run a nationals, but only if we had the money for it. And that was the key. I'll admit a bit draconian, but I, back to your point of the single nationals, I think that would be cool. And actually having to qualify to get those slots, you know, however the areas want to do it, or the sections or that kind of stuff. That could be really neat, and that could be an experience. And then if I were the area director, I would take your plane tickets and your match entry, and I would use it. But I don't know what it would take to get to that point. From the sponsor standpoint, you know, Canuck's going to have to tell Nils to just pick a gun and just go win with that one and let somebody else win with a different gun. You know, I don't know that, but I think that would be really cool to see, you know, all the hot shots, you know, they're going to shoot carry optics this year, or all the hot shots are going to shoot single stack. You know, I would love to see, you know, like a single stack showdown, because in single stack, that's the only division where all the equipment's the same. You know, there's only so much you can do to a 1911.
I can see that. Yeah. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed last year's Carry Optics Nationals, where you literally had basically every national champion there competing. You know what I mean?
Agreed. So, the weather could have been nicer.
It could have been. But I mean, that's Mother Nature. I mean, you know, she's very squirrely. So
ain't that the truth?
Apparently she was on her cycle that first day. I don't know. But other than that, the names that were there competing, I mean, you can't, that was amazing. But at the same time, I still like the idea of making the overall, like you said, you've been there three times. It's like, I can take it or leave it. Well, maybe though now a 1 week all-inclusive match where at the end you have that Friday night, you have maybe it's a Tuesday to Friday, that Friday night, you have an actual nice ceremony, and you have a little, get the first, second, and third up on a little podium and talk, or, you know, get their pictures taken, like, hey, I'm for, you know, in their match jerseys, all that. I mean, let's make it an event. Now it's something everybody wants to go to.
I totally agree. And you could have a vendor's area for those those days that people aren't shooting, that might be actually, you know, I love looking at a new holster. I love looking at a new belt. But when you go to, you know, any level two or even nationals, you know what's going to be on the tables. You know who's going to be there. You know, it might be something like that might be the draw for that little niche guy to get a table, because only going to one makes it a whole lot more efficient than going to, what did we determine, 7 this year. And, you know, the cost of getting the table, getting the transportation, getting the stuff to sell there is all of a sudden now 1/7, but you are exposed to that many more people. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. I'd love to see what that would do to the operations budget. I think that would be pretty interesting. If you kind of back that up a whole year, the planning process to get to that, and I don't even know the ranges that this could happen at. That the Ohio place is gigantic, but half of those bays were almost useless, you know, as far as the concrete walls go. But there's all kinds of opportunities, and I don't think anything should be, you know, specifically on the table or specifically off the table at this point. We don't know, and it even sounds like some of the area directors just don't know, because the information is just not available for whatever reason.
Other than the finances part, which is, I think right now, probably the number one issue that needs to be resolved with the USPSA. Because like you said, we all love the sport. We want the organization to thrive, not just survive, but thrive. And is when an organization is thriving, it's like a magnet. It's going to suck people in. But is there anything else that you feel needs attention now?
I would love to see the organization have a new club handbook. Only because the previous match director here at Schultz, he stepped away. I kind of followed what he was doing and then changed things incrementally as I saw issues or way to make it better. And I think I have a very good system, but again, as other things in my life, I have a great crew behind me. I have about 40 people who regularly help me set up my match. I don't get all 40 of them every month, but I want to say that I have 23 staff members on my monthly match for March out of 72 shooters. So I haven't pounded a stake on a stage for 2 years. You know, I set up the pole barn. I get all the written stage briefings. I get all the pasters. I get all the paint, and I hand out marching orders, and the gang just makes it happen.
You manage a project.
Well, it's kind of what I do.
Boom. Yeah. It's your thing. But
if the organization said, hey, you want to start a USPSA club, here's how you do it, right? Here's the, I'm going to make this FUD friendly. Here's your 3-ring binder with pieces of paper slid into plastic sleeves on how to run a USPSA match, right? Here's the rules, right? After you run a match, you've got 30 days to upload your results. After you run a match, you've got 30 days to pay your fees. Da 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 da. Here's all the stuff that headquarters, but great. Now, here's how to make practice score work. Here's how, do you want to take online payments? Just all of the little nuts and bolts. I think there would be a whole lot more, and I'm going to say 20 to 25 person matches. And I'm going to pick a place where I know there isn't a USPSA club, Des Moines, Iowa, because I've got a couple that drive into Wisconsin, and I see them at matches here in Wisconsin, and they're driving like 4 hours to shoot a match.
Oh,
right?
My gosh.
So, but I think they've got a place to shoot. Even if they only have 2 bays, right? You could run a 6-stage USPSA match with, very quick turnover. One squad shoots one bay, one shot squad shoots the other, rotate, and then tear down, set back up, shoot, switch. You could do that and still be, you start shooting at 9, you could still be home by 2. But if you've only got 25 people, it becomes a pain in the ass. But if there was a book saying, here's how you do it, here's the easy way to do it, I think there would be these little, my club is big. We're talking about capping our membership at 500 people because we've really grown. And I think we're well into the low 400s right now. So I've got a lot to draw from. My match is going to fill up whether I make it 72 people or 90 people, right? It's going to fill. But those little clubs, I think they're scared away because there's no like manual on how to do it. I think if the org had that, that would be most excellent.
It's funny you say that, Chris, because there's actually a match about 45 minutes from where I live that does that exact thing, except it's four stages. And they have 2 bays, so, and 20 people, so 10, sometimes 12 per squad. Yeah. You set up, you shoot yours, then you switch, you go over, you shoot theirs, you tear them down, you shoot the one you just built, you go over, you shoot the one they built, put everything down. We start about between 8 and 9 o'clock in the morning, because you meet there at 7 to start setup.
Yeah.
And then noon 30, somewhere around there, I'm headed home.
Yeah, and I just think that if there was a little manual out there, and I'll even now I'll play against the FUDs and for the young people, them youngins, if there was a YouTube video with the same information on it, I think you would have these small pop-up clubs, and yeah, they'd have to go collect signatures from somebody somewhere else in order to get affiliated, but more than likely some of those people are already doing the 4-hour drive somewhere else. But if they've got a local range, they could be a USPSA club, they could be paying dues, they could be putting in activity fees, not big dollars, but I think there's some growth potential there in the organization. And I sell a lot of USPSA memberships. I, you know, my match usually has two classifiers. So somebody's already halfway to being classified by shooting my match. They shoot my match, you know, if they shoot all of the matches at Schultz in a 30-day period, they have five classifiers already ready to go.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, between my two and NISA usually runs one. Sometimes they run two. So you could have five classifiers in 30 days from just shooting at my club.
Okay.
So yeah, but I sell a lot of memberships saying, hey, you know, you're halfway there, get yourself a number, da-da-da-da-da. I give them the whole sales speech right at the new shooter briefing. And if there was a new shooter handbook, just the what to expect from USPSA, why is the classification system the way that it is? What's the history? And I know we've got the magazine. I try to read the magazine. It hurts my brain. All of the stuff that's actually going on in USPSA isn't in there. Match reports, I've already gotten those match reports from people posting on Instagram, and I get to actually see people moving, right? Or they post on YouTube. It's not the way information travels anymore. But, you know, what's the benefit of having a USPSA membership? What's the benefit of going to another USPSA match somewhere else? Jennifer and I just traveled to Florida. We shot a match in northern Florida. When we showed up, we knew exactly what to expect. We knew the rules. We said hi to people that we already had something in common with. It is, and I'll just say, it's the premier shooting sport in the United States as far as we're concerned. And it's because of the rule set. It's because of the common range officer, system. We've got a good thing. We've just got a little dysfunction going on right now. But if the new clubs got a book and the new members, or even had access to a video series that was, I'm going to say, well produced, and more than Troy or Jake and a handheld camera just talking, right? Something that's scripted, something that's lit correctly, something that's got graphics and all that kind of stuff. We as an organization sell ourselves a little bit short on what the membership experience is across the board, right? They see what the membership experience is at the local club, but it could be more than that to them. If they want to take a vacation, next spring, hey, look for a match. That's what Jennifer and I do. When we know we're traveling, we look for a match. Hey, you take a morning out, from 9 a.m. to 2, you go shoot. Other than traveling with a firearm, it's a vacation, and you get to meet some new people, meet some new friends. It's a thing. And I think everybody thinks of their membership as the local membership. It could be bigger than that if sold correctly.
Yeah, it's really a national membership.
Yeah, and for all of the complaining that the Howler Monkeys do about the way the organization is running, USPSA has a pretty decent rule set. There's a lot of things that I would personally mess with, but none of it is of real substance. Divisions and all that kind of stuff, that takes more than three beers to get through if you're going to talk about divisions. But those are good conversations. The RO training, I think it's a little bit dated. I don't think it's really geared towards training adults. I think training adults is a different thing than educating kids. And I think it could be sharpened a bit, maybe, you know, brought into the early 2000s-ish for technology and the testing procedures and stuff are a little bit, I'll just say draconian. I don't think it really tests knowledge. It doesn't test application, but, you know, that's me as a past instructor coming up and saying there's better ways to educate adults and better ways to show competency. But those are very minor details. We've got a good system of safe ROs. We've got a good system of a safe rule set that everybody, not everybody, most people understand and most people can implement, you know, more than less. And it's not burning down. It's building back better. Oh no, did I just quote that guy? Oh, damn it. I quoted Jefferson and I thought I was doing so well. And
oh, Lordy. All right. So I've got Org Finances, Club Handbook, Shooter Handbook. Is that about right?
That's about right. I would like to see some type of legitimate disciplinary process and some type of arbitration process actually written down. I don't like railroading people. I think the ability to defend oneself is very important. I think the ability to have impartial people judge is even more important.
I 100% agree with you there. And if I may interrupt, I don't.
Go for it. I've been doing all the talking.
I've had a lot of private conversations and some of it was enlightening for me. And one of the conversations I had was taking right now, as someone said, the board of directors is the judge, jury, and executioner. So yes, I agree with having a process and you have a committee or someone who would chair a committee. That's all you would need. And then they would be responsible for getting a group of people to hear a complaint of someone.
Mm-hmm.
And they hear it, they decide, and then if the individual disagrees with that, then the appeals process would take it to the board. And then the board would be, you know, your appeals court.
Yeah.
And that's where the final decision, if there is an appeal, would be made. But
well, I think there has to be, you know, not dissimilar to our criminal justice system. Specific accusations. You can't yes. just say you speed in your car. Well, no, you sped in your car at this spot at this time and you went this fast. And yes. that's the only thing we're going to discuss. We're not going to say, yeah, but you know, you sped yesterday and we just know you did it. You know, that's the kind of stuff where personal feelings and conjecture and outright dishonesty, that's where that stuff kind of lives. And yep. I'm not saying that I'm a perfect person and I speed like a motherfucker, but it's if somebody's going to hand me a speeding ticket, I only want to pay the speeding ticket for the one offense. And if there's multiple offenses, I want them all listed. And I want the ability to dispute each one of those.
Yes.
Those accusations. And what I watched happen recently, the term witch hunt, I don't think does it quite justice.
Yeah, I would probably agree with you with that.
And I go back to my boys because I do think of my main job as being a father. I mean, seriously, I'm going to release these kids and they're going to be your problem pretty quick. So,
right. Society, you know, yeah.
Yeah, teaching them that, you know, there's some responsibility out there. And sometimes, you know, you get accused of things you didn't actually do. And, you know, you have to have the ability to say, no, that wasn't me, right? That was the Ferrari in the left lane, you know, not my dad van, that, you know, that sort of thing. But it has to be fair and impartial. And I don't know how the impartial part actually plays out, but obviously the fix was in right from the beginning, and it was for political reasons, not necessarily factual reasons. And I get it. I don't like being made fun of, but like sometimes when you're made fun of, it's funny. And if you can have a little bit of sense of humor about yourself, you know, and yeah. it might be also an excuse to have a little introspection and see that, oh, this is how they're seeing me. If I don't want to be seen that way, maybe that's an opportunity to change my mind and change my actions. But, you know, there I go talking crazy again.
Well, I've got to ask you, you say you, this is kind of off topic, but you say that you still like to work patrol at times. The old beard there, does it ever concern you that someone could use your beard against you?
It's definitely a tactical disadvantage, but I actually braid it when I'm on duty. So it actually comes up pretty tight. So something like that.
So you do it under.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'll actually braid the sides in a braid and the middle in a braid, and then bring them together and then fold them into each other. And I actually got the idea of all things from a Disney cartoon. So there was a Viking character and like a spoof of a Viking character in a Disney cartoon. And I saw it and I'm like, oh, that looks pretty cool. And it works. Somebody must have researched it while drawing that character, and it's a really good way to bring it up. And actually, if you see me shooting at the range, I'll almost always have it braided to just kind of keep it from doing all kinds of weird beard things.
Interfering.
Yeah.
End up with hot brass in your beard.
That's a thing. That's a real thing. But the real issue is Egg McMuffins in my beard. That's my biggest problem at the range.
With Southern barbecue, you might get burrito in that sucker.
That's a thing too. The match morning routine here is the boys and I get up because we've got to finish set up, right? We've got to hang targets and all that kind of stuff. So the boys and I get up, pile in the car, and we go through the McDonald's drive-thru. And then we go to the range, start setup, and then lovely Jennifer meets us there about 2 minutes before the shooters meeting. But lovely Jennifer is a health coach and a nutrition coach. So she watches what we eat, and McDonald's apparently is not nutritious. Who knew, but she is adamant.
Who would have thunk it?
Right. I don't know. So I have to make sure that it is out of my beard before she shows up.
There you go. Keep that comb handy.
Yeah, I do love me an Egg McMuffin.
They are good, not gonna lie.
Yes.
I mean, I've never had one ever.
Right. Yeah. I just smelled the ones the boys eat because, you know, they're young and can burn it off.
Yeah. That fast metabolism.
And they have hair.
Well, you do too. It's all right here.
Yeah, right. Yeah. If eventually this is going to get long enough where I'm going to do a comb over. I'm going to comb it around back, around my ears, and then around to the front.
I like it. Okay. Well, Chris, it's been a great conversation. I've asked everything that I've wanted to ask and talked about everything. Is there anything we didn't discuss that you wanted to talk about?
Oh, I have a lot of questions about black holes and like the event horizons of black holes, but That's probably.
I hope we're talking space right now.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
All right. Like, so I want to clarify.
Oh, back to the. We can go full circle back to how much of a nerd I am. I paid $125 to see a Neil deGrasse Tyson lecture.
Like, oh, was it worth it?
Yeah. It was.
Okay.
It was absolutely worth it. And I'll just say like an hour and a half of stand up, you know, Cosmos stand up kind of stuff. And then he did like an open question. And I left after 2 hours of the open question. It was just, everything was just more fascinating than the next. And when you start looking big picture and all that kind of stuff, that's the kind of stuff that just blows my brain.
I like watching stuff about space, but sometimes that stuff is out there. Like literally it's like trying to wrap your head around what they're saying is like, this is just the topic they're talking about is enormous. So I tend to prefer geology over outer space.
I can highly recommend, and they've actually done two different seasons of the Cosmos Theory series that Carl Sagan originally did back in the, was that the 70s or 80s?
I think 70s, yeah.
Yeah. And then Neil deGrasse Tyson redid it with Fox, and then he did a second season not that long ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And, you know, if you just want to just trip out on the fact that there are people thinking about this and the people that have figured this stuff out and, you know, to bring it back to USPSA, boy, you'd think we can balance a budget. If people can figure out how to shoot a rocket to Mars and actually get it back, you know, that kind of stuff.
So what you're saying is we need Elon Musk. Okay. Got it.
That dude's weird. I'm not saying I'm normal, but that dude's weird.
Okay. Fair enough.
I guess just my final thing is I'm on the social medias, Instagram. I almost always, at least have it running in the background of my phone. If somebody wants to reach out to me, I will gladly hand them my cell phone number. Everybody has it. It's on all kinds of things. It's not a secret. Please don't send me any inappropriate pictures. I will just laugh. And I will share them, but
you have to define inappropriate, just like confidential. You have to define it.
No, apparently you don't. Isn't that what we've learned? That rules only apply to some people, and you don't really have to define something if you don't want to.
True enough. Okay, I will put your Instagram in the show notes then, so people can reach out.
That would be wonderful. And no, seriously, to everybody. If you got questions for me, you know, shoot them out. If you've got funny memes, send those too, because I like to laugh. What I would caution everybody about all of the USPSA BS, to me, it's not personal. This is the sport that we all love, and we're all trying to do the right thing. Try to keep it unpersonal. Sometimes it borders both, you know, goes both ways. I'm just as guilty as everybody else is. But everybody out there is trying to do their best. Are there betters than bestest, you know, bestest and betters and all that kind of stuff. There's a gradation here, but I think in the end, we're all going to wind up working together towards the same goal. So let's keep that in mind before we totally blast everybody else. You know, the Area 5 election, there's going to be at least three of us running. I know that Adam Maxwell and Leif Kunkel, they're both great guys. You're going to find that all three of us agree way more than we disagree. I think that I might be the steamroller of the three of us as far as you know, getting stuff done, but that doesn't mean that they don't have valid points and that they're bad guys or anything like that. Like I said, I can only think of one person that I've met in the entire USPSA world that I would not want to shoot with. The rest of everybody, again, we might not disagree, but we can probably work towards the same goal together.
Amen. All right. Well, I'm going to have you back on again. This has been a wonderful conversation.
Well, all right. I will pack more beer. I only put three beers next to me, so.
Okay. Well, yeah. Next time it might be a four beer conversation.
All right. Fair enough. How long did we go? Oh my. Oh my.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Thanks for coming on again, Chris.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Until next time.
Don't be a little bitch.
Yeah.